Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. This is Carrie Brown on the World Wide Net, and I am introducing The Wind Show, which is Monday on BBS Internet Radio. And we are very glad to meet with you on this Monday. Today is the 12th of September, 2011. And if anyone is interested in hearing replays of the Monday night call, they are archived on BBS Radio, and you can go on your internet to BBS Radio and take a look. You can listen on the web to the show live on BBS Radio. Right now, we're waiting for Wynn. We do a simulcast on Monday where we have people on the phone line and we have people on the internet radio. Usually what happens about now, Wynn is out rounding up the people on the conference line who call in from all over, and it's an interactive call, so those people on the phone line can talk to Wynn, and they can unless they're muted, when we are doing the beginning, the introduction, and when we are channeling the topic, then they're muted so that they cannot respond. But anytime he wants to, he can unmute them and they can ask questions. Now, people can also call in if it's that kind of a day when he's asking for feedback or he's asking questions of the audience. People can also call in from BBS Radio, to BBS Radio. And if he puts out a request for people to call. So there we are. It's Monday. My name is Carrie Brown, and I often do channelings on the show. For a while, we had... For quite a while, we had Carla Ruckert on the line, who was one of the first people to channel Ra. And she had a surgery and has been laid up from that, and so hasn't been on the show lately. But we're hoping when she recovers a little more that she can be back on Monday. She has very valuable information. So, I first got into channeling in 1995. I had known Wynn since 1979 or 1980 when I first met him. And for a while, we worked together, and we were selling a product together, and he was a manager in that company, and I was a manager in that company. He then had other products he was selling, and I sold some of the other products that he was selling, and I even went to some of the state fairs that hired people to sell blue blocker sunglasses. So we have a long history together. And then in 1995, I met Cheryl Taylor, who was a fairly famous channel and did discovering who was the perpetrator of crimes and finding lost submarines for the military. And she had done a lot of good work, and she was completely amazing. One day, Bob Nielsen, who was in our class, he dropped his cane over the balcony and ended up in the flower gardens below, and we couldn't find it. We all went down and we were looking and looking for his cane, and none of us could find it. And she came out and said, "That's the wrong way to look for something." and she put her hand to her head, and she said, "That's, it's right there." And we all looked, we looked, and there it was. So she was a totally fantastic channel, and she had a class in how to channel, which I took the class, and my first channeling that I did was part of the class. And then later, when I met Daphne and she began channeling the Elohim, then after she left the scene, then the Elohim started knocking on my head. I started channeling the Elohim. Wynn, are you on the line yet?
No.
I see. It's his usual contrary side speaking.
I wonder who said no.
So, take it away.
Thank you. How are you?
Hi. Hello.
So,
our conference line has joined us, and so you hear Ice, who's generally the person who introduces people to the conference line.
So something started knocking you on your head, right?
Yeah, there was a pressure knocking on my head saying, we want to talk to Wynn. And I said, Wynn's sleeping, so why don't you just talk to me and get acquainted with me? We can get acquainted. And they said, no, we want to talk to Wynn. So I woke him up, and he got out his tape recorder, and they began to come through me.
Well, actually, I didn't believe it, though, at the time. I didn't believe it was the same source.
No, he really didn't believe it. Well, he just had a question.
Did you believe it?
I did believe it because, you know, they were.
You could feel their frequencies, right?
I could sense that they were there. I could feel their frequencies. I could feel the pressure of them knocking on my head, hey, you know, to get my attention. I could tell, you know, because I can see spirits. And it's not like they had form. These guys didn't really have form, but they had intelligence and frequencies.
But they didn't have form.
No, not really. They didn't have form. It's like it was just an intelligence without form.
Okay. All right. But you know what? We have a really interesting topic tonight. Oh, I better start the tape recorder. Hang on.
Thank you, Wynn.
I took the words out of Isis' mouth, right? Wynn, don't forget to start the tape recorder. You know, the way this call works, it started out as a conference call, then we went on VBS. And if you're listening for the first time, you can't really believe we're doing what we think we're doing, probably the first time you listen. Something that you have to check out kind of thoroughly. And, but what it seems to be happening here is we're talking to an intelligences in other dimensions. And they're not just normal intelligences. And in the track of all our conversations with them, they say they created the physical universe. And if you haven't downloaded and read my book, you should. The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe want to talk to you. And all you got to do is go to creatorgodbook.com, and just fill out your name and email, and the book comes in your email. And so, talking to a source like that, there's a lot of unusual properties that happen associated with it, aside from getting information. I think normally when we think of channeling, we think of, well, I could get some really neat information. I could ask these sources how to win the stock market. I never did that, but I did ask them how to win the horse races. And they said it wouldn't be a good idea to tell me. But the thing that's incredible about them is they said this really originally with Daphne, and they said they were able to beam energy into this realm from their realm, and that I didn't know what that meant. They said, we beam love light energy. And we had many, many conversations, and they said they created this realm. They created it. And then I asked them, how'd they do that? Well, they didn't say, let there be light. They said there were these shooting of frequencies and spinning this, and where frequencies were crossing, it will create nodes. Now, I was a physics major at one point, and I said, I'm not sure I understand this, but I'm not sure I don't understand it. But I don't know how Terry could ever come up with it. It was it made sense intuitively. And so we've had, just to bring people up to date, we've had many, many conversations with them. Originally, it was just myself and Terry or myself and Daphne. And now we do it live on these calls. We send out audios to people. And, we do it in full view of everybody, which for a long time I was kind of scared to do. I said, what if we say something wrong? What if we mislead anybody? And eventually I got confident that that did not seem to happen. So we ask questions on Monday, and we pick a topic. And the topic is, how were humans created? This is a kind of controversial topic because, a typical religious person of any religion is going to have a very strong idea of how that occurred. But on these calls, and not only these calls, but there's a lot of cross-referencing material, humans were originally created. Well, let's go back. The Elohim starts to create a physical universe, and they're crossing frequencies, and they're creating solids. And then they're creating the first instance of DNA, and they're creating the first instance of life. And we're never going to understand how they did that. As much as I ask them, we're not going to understand it, because I have asked them. And it sounds like they know what they're talking about, but it's hard to imagine in a human mind. But in any case, so over eons of time, everything is evolving. And then they created life forms. They talked about how they created the first amoeba. And I don't have a clear indication of how the amoeba became animals and humans, but we do know that Elohim souls started to come into this realm and occupy bodies. Now, what we don't know, did they occupy special bodies that created just for themselves, or did they occupy bodies that were already here, or both? But they came into this realm, and originally they could go back and forth. They could occupy a body and then go back. And then they got stuck here. And when they got stuck, now this is not from my channel, in Edgar Cayce readings, they said they got stuck because of sex. They started having sex with the beings in this realm. And the sex wasn't a punishment. It locked them in energetically to the realm. They got pulled into the energy field of a being that was locked into the realm, which locked them into the realm. That's about as much as I can understand of how that works. And then we go on, and the Elohim souls that were in this realm, some of them were positively oriented, and some of them were not positively oriented, service to self and service to others. They had a lot of power in this realm, so they had the ability to control the other beings in this realm. And they were doing gold mining on Earth, the way the story goes. And their bodies were not so suited for the environment here, and they wanted to genetically create a being in the Earth realm who could be their slave, so to speak, and mine this gold. So there was some kind of genetic manipulation between the Elohim who were in this realm, which I believe were called the Anunnaki. They may also have been called the Nephilim. I'm not sure. I don't mean to do this in a way that is scholarly, because I'd have to do too much research. And so I believe those were the two names that were applicable, the Anunnaki and the Nephilim. And, of course, in the Bible, they talk about the sons of God mating with the daughters of man. And they did humans to be their slaves, to mine the gold for them. And so last week we learned that the humans went into a kind of revolt. They were resisting this position of being slaves, and they tried to commandeer a spaceship of the Anunnaki, and they were not able to do it, and they couldn't figure out how to fly it, so they blew it up, something like that. I believe that's the way the story went. They blew it up, and then there was a lot of annoyed Anunnaki that said, let's forget this human experiment and do away with them. And the Anunnaki, I didn't ask all these questions last week, so we can clarify some of them. They were divided.
Between let's do away with the humans and
let's nurture them back to evolution. And so, historically, as much as this is not... This was on the Sumerian tablets. A Sumerian scholar named Zechariah Sitchin wrote a number of books about. Historically, there were two brothers, one that were leading the different factions. The one was named Enlil, and the other was named Enki. And one of them took the side of, let's get rid of all the humans, and the other took the side of, let's nurture the humans. And if you read some of this stuff in history from Zechariah Sitchin and others, and I tell people, this sounds fascinating, do a search on Enki and Enlil on Google. You'll find many things about it, people who have done archaeology. And what was happening was the one brother who wanted to do away with everybody was planning to blow up the planet. And apparently he did. Not that he didn't blow up the planet, but he destroyed all life on this. By the way, there was an article that was in the New York Times this week that I just happened to run about some scientists that discovered, I'm walking around looking for that because I took it out because I wanted to read it. Now I can't find it. Scientists have discovered fossils with an unusual, in South Africa, gold, right? it was a missing link between ape and humans, and that it had ape characteristics and a human hand, and that it was revolutionizing how they thought about the Darwinian theory. Okay, see how crazy this all gets? You know, it's kind of like maybe the Darwinian theory is better than knowing all this, but apparently this is our roots. This is where we came from. And so the one brother blew up the Sinai Peninsula, and there's still evidence, according to certain people, of radiation and a nuclear blast there. And the other brother knew that this was going to happen, and he decided to rescue some humans and some animals so that the DNA template would not be lost and could continue. Now, we're going to find out today, in that rescue event, was there a spaceship that took all these beings, these humans, up into space to preserve them when this explosion happened? Or was it Noah, who was given the instructions and help on how to build an ark and do it that way? Or none of the above. And maybe I have it completely wrong, but I did study this enough so we could ask some really good questions tonight. And, you know, an interesting thing I read, there's another group that channels, the Cassiopeians. And I think the woman's name is Laura. She happens to be friends with Carla Ruckert. And so there was a question asked to her source, and I haven't studied her completely, so I don't really, I figured if Carla knows her, she has some kind of credibility. And they were talking about the raw material, and they said, well, how much of the raw material is accurate? What percentage? And she said, 70%. I've never asked that question. I don't think I want to ask it. And then the question was, how much is the Cassiopeians accurate? And they said, about the same. And they said it varied from 65% to 95%. And they said, what made the difference? And the answer was the energy of the people present during the channeling. They held the purity of purpose that kept the channeling clear. So you can all give yourself a pat on the back, those of you that are coming into the calls, because I know that's true, but I never heard anyone say that before, that when you're dealing with these group soul energies, we become part of the matrix, and we become part of the safety, and we become part of the accuracy. And of course, we're learning as we're going to do this publicly like this. So before we go into the questioning, let me just, I'm going to open the lines and see if...
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Do you guys on the line, I just unmuted the conference line, do you have any particular things you'd like to ask about this particular topic? It's got to be on this topic, okay? Are you curious about this?
Very curious, and I can't wait to hear it.
I mean, you know, every Monday I have to choose what we're going to talk about. And, you know, luckily I never run out of topics. So... we could go on for eternity here. And the topics, new topics will come up as we go. I happen to, one of the things about learning about this ancient creation stuff is that for many of us, particularly those, hang on a second.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Many of us who are wanderers who come in from higher dimensions, all of this stuff is solving big cosmic puzzles and creates a cellular resonance which helps awaken us. And, of course, for many of us, either the Elohim or the Ra group might have been our source family, And even if they weren't, they take transients and they adopt people. So this is a wonderful opportunity to get adopted by those guys, which is a great experience because you now know you're not alone in this realm anymore. You've got a team supporting you in other realms. And when that happens, you know it. Things change in your life. Things occur. So we got no questions. And Terry, are you on the line?
I am.
You're not muted.
I am here.
Thank you. Okay. So I'm going to call in the light, and we'll start our questioning on this topic. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone on this line, and everyone who is listening on the replays. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we also combine with each other. I don't think I said that. Those of you who free will and who choose, we create a group energy while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you.
Your volume is slightly low. Could you put the phone near to the mouthpiece?
Okay, is this good?
Much better, thank you.
Okay. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra Ond, and we greet and welcome and express joy at making contact with each and every person on the line. And we are mindful of the topic and the questions that have been asked. We see that the contact with Earth in the period of darkness before the Earth at the period of time approximately 12,000, 13,000 years ago, there is a darkness that fell over the Earth. Before that, civilization had become widespread, and there was intergalactic travel with space pods for landing in several countries, one of them being Egypt and one of them being South America. There was space travel and there was connection upon the trade routes which space ships maintain. There was Earthlings that had been previously genetically altered to survive within the Earth atmosphere, taking genetic seed from the starlings and from the Earth apes. And he had made beings that were on Earth and able to survive on the Earth. However, the Anunnaki did not feel that Earthlings were of a sufficient intelligence to survive or to warrant the interaction, and they wished particularly and they wished to start the project over. He did not like the independence that the Earthlings projected and felt that the Earthlings would not be able to fit into the galactic model of beings that could interact in a galactic sphere. They were too independent and too self-willed and not enough service to others. So he felt that they should be annihilated. The brother, Enki, felt that the Earthlings should be given every chance. And both Enki and Lil had descendants that were in the Earth sphere from the combination of the genetics, their own genetic line, and the AIDS. The this what we are going to tell you now has been blocked out from history and created a blackout of the continuation of information flowing from the past of history of Earth to the present, as it was so severe as to create a period when the destruction was so severe that the memory was blocked out. They blew up the Earth stations for interaction, and this was blown up by Enlil and Enlil and his descendants. And this was not wished to be blown up by Enki, and this continued to be a blackout through which the history and the pastime of historic drugs was lost as the nuclear explosions were so intense that they could not remember and pass down information from generation to generation as those generations caught in the crossfire of this destruction were bound up in the tangle and could not remember. The earlier incident 4 million years ago was with the gold mining established also by the Anunnaki on the trade route. And they established an outpost on Earth to mine gold. They also had humans that they developed genetically to take over the mining of the gold, as the Anunnaki could not readily survive in the Earth atmosphere, and they needed to develop beings that could survive. As the Earth atmosphere has many biological factors, which then would disrupt the life force of the star people, the Anunnaki, also known as the Nephilim. The Earthlings in the particular surroundings of the gold mine, there was about five of them that felt that they were very deprived, and that the opulence of the spaceship people and the people on the spaceship was such that they lived a total life of leisure and pleasure, and they did not feel it was fair that these individuals had to work in the mines and to work with the loading of the gold, and they wished to see what was beyond the Earth. So when the spaceship landed to pick up its supply of gold, this was about 4 million years ago, they loaded the gold onto the spaceship, but they had a plan that they would take over and commandeer the spaceship and place in bondage the people flying the spaceship and make them take them to other areas and to see what was beyond the Earth and to take part in the opulence that they saw in the spaceship. These five individuals, when the spaceship landed and then individuals that loaded the gold onto the spaceship and it was ready to take off, made their move to take over the spaceship. And some of them went on to the spaceship and they were confronted with weapons that they did not understand, and the remaining ones were set to release the spaceship, as there were mechanisms when the spaceship took off to move it from dimensions into a higher dimension, and there were specific routines they had to perform. The individuals performing these routines were individuals that were taking over the spaceship, and they were not well versed in how to release the spaceship, and they released the spaceship before the timing pattern was such to turn it, move it into the higher dimension. The spaceship being out of sync in its vibratory movement then blew up. They did not intend it to blow up, but they did not know how to operate the mechanisms to release it into flight. So it blew up. And this ended gold mining for a while on Earth. Then later on, there were again movement and the establishment of spaceports in South America and in Egypt, and there were then the connection between the Anunnaki and the humans. And again, the Anunnaki felt superior, and they felt that the humans were not being cooperative, and they would they purposely blew up the spaceports to prevent the further interaction between the Anunnaki and the Earthlings. Do you have further questions?
Yes, I do. You started out talking about 12,000 B.C., and then you went back to 4 million B.C. Obviously, 12,000 B.C., according to all my information, was the time that Atlantis blew up and the time of approximately Ra-Ta in Egypt bringing in Atlanteans and welcoming them to Egypt. Historically, we have this indication of Noah, who rescued a lot of beings at the time of a great flood. Was this connected to the destruction of the Earth either 4 million years ago or 12,000 years ago? Or were there similar episodes in both periods?
The period of the destruction of Atlantis and the tidal waves, there are several times when tidal waves have taken over continents and people have been rescued, and for instance, with Lemuria, people were rescued and shuttled to India. With Atlantis, people were rescued and shuttled to Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And were they rescued in spaceships, or were they rescued by earthbound vehicles?
They were rescued in airships.
In airships. And
yes.
Is the if you want to share this, is the biblical story of Noah connected with these rescues?
Yes, because there was an individual who attempted to rescue the different life forms and species so that they would be continued.
And did Noah represent someone with a physical vehicle, an ark, as it's listed in the Bible, or was that symbolic for a space vehicle?
Give us a moment. That was symbolic for a physical ark, not a vehicle.
Was Noah communicating? Noah had a knowledge that this was coming. Was he communicating to Enlil? Was he communicating to the Ra? Who was giving Noah this knowledge?
Give us more. He was communicating with a scientist at the time who were in touch with the other individuals, the scientists, who had inside information about the plants.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to 4 million years ago when we had these Anunnaki who were mining gold. Were those Anunnaki who were mining gold aware of the celestial Elohim? Were some of them aware of the celestial Elohim at that time?
No.
So they didn't have people who were channeling and bringing through information where they could track their origins?
No.
In the Bible refers to the Elohim, and they talk about the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. I would assume that was talking about the Anunnaki in the Bible. Would that be true?
Yes, and that was the later time, not the earlier time.
So in the later time, the Anunnaki became aware that they were connected to the celestial Elohim. Is that true?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There were prophets that were connecting to the Elohim and were bringing through information for some of the Anunnaki.
Uh-huh. And at that time, was there a cooperative relationship between the celestial Elohim and the Anunnaki? Was it a collaborative, co-creative relationship in some way?
There was a collaborative co-relation with some. However, the main amount of Anunnaki were headstrong and felt superior and did not feel the need of the connection.
These two brothers, 4 million years ago, Enki and Enlil, I would assume, like all energy forms, they continued and perhaps even reincarnated, or perhaps they operated as energy beings. Can we know how they continued and what forms where they might have shown up?
Give us a moment. After they completed that lifetime, they still reincarnated in relation to each other, and they were in an adversarial condition in various lifetimes, as some of the biblical characters.
For example, in the Old Testament, was Enlil connected to the being Yahweh?
Yahweh was connected with both of them. However, Yahweh was eventually relieved of his duties, and he formatted too harsh a connection with them. And he eventually was relieved of his duties by the Ra group.
And was, did Enlil and Enki ever take incarnations in the human bodies?
Yes.
Are there names of history that we would recognize as one or the other, if we could know that?
Yes, however, at this time, we do not wish to specify.
What was the connection of what's called the reptilians to this Anunnaki group and the two brothers?
There was one group of star people that were reptilian, and they figured that if they used some of the reptilian seed in the genetics, that would make the ability for the new life on Earth, the new man, to succeed better in the severe environment of the Earth sphere. However, it gave the new group of Earthlings a genetic connection with the reptilian group and a harmonization of frequencies with it created a bond wherein the reptilians felt and had some control over the humans.
Am I correct in thinking that as all these genetic lines got inserted into humans, it also allowed, say, reptilians to come in and take human bodies, Anunnaki to take human bodies, because their genes were represented in the line?
If you could call it, the Anunnaki soul that had been on the Anunnaki line could leave that line and come into humans, and the reptilian could leave that line and come into the humans, and as such could influence some of the genetics and influence some of the Earth beings and even make some appearance as shapeshifters.
And in Atlantis, according to Edgar Cayce, there were two groups. There were the Sons of the Law of One, and there were the Sons of Belial. I think it was called Sons, but I know the word Belial was in there. And the Sons of the Law of One were identified as service to others, and the Sons of Belial were identified as service to self.
Yes.
Were these groupings connected to positive Anunnaki coming in as this Law of One, beings from other planets coming in as the Sons of the Law of One, and the reptilians coming in as the Sons of Belial?
When an individual took the human body, then they identified with the group that they had the most resonance with, so that the Anunnaki came in and took the human body, they could then move into whichever group that they wished and whichever group they identified with. And it is not a straight line. It is fuzzy which group an individual could identify with the reptilian were foreign to the Anunnaki, and they had a horns of them. So the souls that came in to the reptilian group tended to be of a lower nature, and more of them would identify with the Belial group.
The Belial group, yes. In anyone's body, since there's today we could maybe say that in many human bodies there's a cross current of DNA, which is both reptilian, Anunnaki, and ape. If that's the case, does that mean a human can be shifting with the resonance through their life or through their lifetimes between one group and another? Would that be common?
One could find problems in overcoming certain tendencies of a group with these certain genetic characteristics and could have difficulty that could provide growth to them for overcoming those certain tendencies or traits of the seed. It was not only three groups. It was not only Anunnaki and reptilian and the ape. It was also the Pleiadian and also a group from the Andromeda system and other groups that were mixed in to give a wider base for the expansion of humans. When the individuals were born, some of the children would revert to one star group over another and would have particular gifts or particular adversities.
When we say the Pleiadians were involved, was there a way that Pleiadian DNA got into the mix?
Yes. The DNA of many star groups was collected on the trade routes from different star systems and was collected as a prize by the genetic scientists. And they then could use these mixes to see what they could come up with that would be stronger mixes, more intelligent, and more able to survive in the Earth atmosphere.
That was the Anunnaki that were doing that.
Yes.
So when we've read how the Earth was a mixture of many, many different star systems making incarnations here, it was, if I'm correct in saying, the Anunnaki moving through all these systems and picking up the DNA that were the creating that.
That were creating the new individuals scientifically and making them available to it. It was not only through sex. It just was propagated. It was through the modification by adding different genes of different groups to the fertilization of the eggs and different experiments to inject different genetic seeds into the ovum that they could experiment. Many of the creatures that were born were rejected and put to sleep as they did not work, but one in perhaps very many, like a million, could be an exceptional being.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have groups on Earth that are very different, obviously with different genetics. For example, the Chinese. The Chinese have different bodies, different appearances, and different makeups. Their qualities are quite different than Caucasians in their personalities and the way they think. Could we use them as an example and perhaps understand what were the Chinese part of the Anunnaki experiment?
Give us a moment. There were different groups that came to Earth as outposts and were started much like the Europeans came to America, like Columbus. There were different space groups, and in the period when the expansion of the people on Earth was taking place before the destruction, people were outposted in groups, and these groups developed together in relative isolation within a certain area and hung together, and so reproduced with different qualities.
So, in particular with the Chinese, did they have a particular star system that they were related to?
Yes, they did.
Can we know which one?
We get a section of Andromeda 5.
Mm-hmm. And Native Americans, do they have a particular star system that they're related to?
They were a mix, and they mixed with and blended with groups from the Siberian and from the South American. As those groups moved toward America, and so they were blended while they were still here with other groups.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think last question for tonight. Maybe I'll ask one more after this because this may not have a happy ending. On all those beings that were destroyed by the flooding or the nuclear disasters or whatever, did they end up being, what happened to their soul matrices? Did they end up being tangled web messes of soul matrices, as happened in Maldek?
Yes, the individuals who were grown up within the Sodom and Gomorrah area and within the Indian area, they ended up very much in trouble. And as in reconstruction of their soul matrix, and were unable to operate and have been seeking, struggling to work it through. The individuals who did not get involved in those blasts carried on to become the people of today. However, these blasts wiped out memory of what happened.
So it was traumatic. So that tangled mass of the tangled mass still exists right now.
Yes, and struggling, and also the karma of that rests with the land, and that is one reason that the Nidius is such a hot spot, as the area of the Indian and Pakistan border.
And did the Anunnaki get karma for this whole episode with humans? Did they get bound into it?
Some of the Anunnaki got bound into it and took Earth bodies with the desire of straightening this all out, and still are working on it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think it is 7:05, and we'll bring this session to a close. Is there anything else that you would like to share before we finish? Thank you so much for being so available to bring this unusual understanding of the history of humans to all of us. And anything else you'd like to share?
We would like to lift this heavy energy at this time and to move into the energy bringing in from the higher realms of peace and love, and lift the karmic energy of destruction, which can benefit all of Earth, because as it rides as an unconscious overlay in the past of Earth, individuals in an unconscious manner take it on and tend to dramatize it. So we would like to lift into the higher realms of light this overlay, that it can be cleared from the Earth field. We leave, but we do not leave Adonai.
Thank you. Let's all take a moment of intention, prayer, to lift that energy from our planet. I'll just be silent on that.